Well, the Gemara says the Rabban Shlom is about to give the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he says, wait a minute, I have to add on the Tagim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's good the way it is. What do you need all the Tagim for? So he said, no, there's a derech of learning. After many generations, there'll be a rabbi, Akiva ben Yosef, and he's going to darshan on all the Tagim. So we don't really fasken like that. We don't accept any of the drushes of Rabbi Akiva based on Tagim. We don't hold that that's when the Midrash are throwing the drushes. At the end of the day, why does the Rabban Shlom have the Tagim? We mentioned that the Gemara has a concept of able to deal with Kim Chaim. It's an interesting idea. Able to deal with Kim Chaim. So we explained a little bit. It goes like this. Why is a Pesach of any Talmud Chacham binding? He's only a human being. Human beings can make mistakes. By the Catholics, they have an idea of the infallibility of the Pope. We don't have such a rule. We have Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu made mistakes. Moshe Rabbeinu forgot things. They reminded him. There's not a lot. We have on the books, there's a din in the Chumash, Parhel and Dovish of Sibu. Theoretically, it's possible. We don't know. We have no record that it ever happened. It probably never happened in the history of the world. But on the books, there's a principle of Parhel and Dovish of Sibu. If the entire 71 members of the Bez Nagoro made a mistake, and there were Matar and Issa Kores, 51% of the Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael violated the Issa Kores. So we don't require each and every. Usually the thing is that one who violates the Issa Kores has to bring a Korban Chatos, Gizbo or Sira. But if the Roi HaTzibur, 51% of the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael violated the Issa Kores because of the mistaken Psach and the Bez Nagor, that was a unanimous Psach, then the Bez Nagor brings a Parhel and Dovish of Tzibur. Did this ever happen? I don't think it ever happened. The Gemara has no record at all that they ever brought a Parhel and Dovish of Tzibur. But on the books, officially, such a thing is theoretically possible. We don't believe in any infallibility of any human being. The only one who's infallible is the Rabban Shlom. He doesn't make any mistakes. He's perfect. Human beings can always make mistakes. So why is the Pesach of any Talmud Chacham binding? Maybe he's making a mistake. So we mentioned the answer is found in Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim, Tzor Hashem V'Yireh. Gemara quotes it in a few different places. We believe that Tzor Hashem V'Yireh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Talmud Chacham divine assistance that he should not make a mistake. But how can you say that a Baruch Hu gives divine assistance? What is Machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel? Machlekes Abai V'Rabbi. So the Baruch Hu gave Rabbi divine assistance, he should say one way. He gave Abai divine assistance, he should say the other way. The Rabban Shlom is talking out of both sides of his mouth at the same time. The Gemara says, yes, Eilu v'Eilu, Dibu l'Kim Chayim. You don't always say Eilu v'Eilu. Let's say if you have a machlokes, Abai v'Rava had to translate a line in the Mishnah. Rav Meir said something in the Mishnah. So Abai interprets it one way, Rav interprets it a different way. Rav Meir either said one or the other. He didn't say both. So then, that's Rashi and Tosfos and Ksubis right like that. Eilu v'Eilu Dibu l'Kim Chayim only applies if you have a machlokes, I'm even an Avshayim. You have original machlokes, Abai thinks the Yerushalayim Midas, Lo Havi Yush, and Rav thinks the Yerushalayim Midas, Havi Yush. And that's one of the Al-Kigam that we paskan like Abai in the later generations. We paskan like the Roy. We pass it like the consensus. Over the generations, they debated the issue. It turned out that the Rav of the Chachamim agreed. It turned out all the time. Rav of the Chachamim agreed with Rav most of the time. And these six issues, the Yal Kazam, the Rav of the generations after them, they agreed with Abai. Same thing with evidence, Machlech, Sabyech, and Shlokish. So we always pass like Rech and against Shlokish, with three exceptions to the rule. These in every issue they voted, and in every. And it turned out that the majority, the consensus always was like Rabbi Yochanan. In the three cases, the consensus was like Rish Lakish. We always follow the Rabbim. So that's what Rashi and Tosfos point out. When they say Eilu v'Eilu Dibu l'Kim Chayim, when it's Machlokes Aliva ben Avshayim, it's a question of halacha. So then you can say like this, you can put him lekana, put him lekana. But it's a machlokes, Abai v'Rava, how to translate the words of the Tana. Either the Tana said A, or the Tana said B. So the one who's wrong is wrong. Either one is right and one is wrong. You can't say Eilu v'Eilu. The Tana didn't say both things. So how do you say Chumash Eilu v'Eilu Dibu l'Kim Chayim? So there's a ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. famous report where the report explains as follows. It's a Moshe Lamad Baradayman. So let's say Moshe Rabbeinu is on Har Sinai, and the Rebbeinu Shalom is standing in the Lords of Tefillin, the Lords of the Kriya Sater, whatever. But then Moshe Rabbeinu asks, what's the din in this case? Rebbeinu Shalom, the din is that it's Mutter. What's the din in that case? That case, it's Osir. What's the din in the third case? The Rebbeinu Shalom said, that case has elements of Isa. It's a great area of Halacha. Has elements of Isa, elements of Hepa, elements of Tuna, elements of Tara, elements of Chiyav, elements of Tur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I leave it up to the discretion of the Talmid HaChachamim Shebechol Davador, that they should be Machriya, whether according to their perspective, the elements of Isa outweigh the elements of Heter, the elements of Heter outweigh the elements of Isa. So if it depends on the perspective of the Talmid HaChachamim Shebechol Davador, you can have different people looking at all the information with different perspectives. Let's say, I'm looking at the room, so I see the light fixtures on the ceiling, I see the posts, the pillars, I see the chairs, and the tables, and the people. I'm sitting over here, I have one perspective. Someone sitting in that corner sees exactly the same. Everybody has 20/20 vision with their glasses, okay? So he sees the same thing, but he has a different perspective. And someone sitting over there sees exactly the same from a different perspective. All the perspectives are correct from their perspectives. So that's what the Rebbeinu Shlom said. If you have a great area of halacha that has elements of Isa, elements of Heter, like the Rebbeinu Shlom said, leaves it up to the decision of the Chachmei HaTorah and the Chol Davador to determine whether they feel that the elements of Isa outweigh the elements of Heter or the reverse. And all the perspectives are correct. We're looking from a different perspective. All the perspectives are correct. That's what it means. Eilu Yehuda Divinu Kimchaim. Eilu Yehuda Divinu Kimchaim, the Gemara originally has it in Eretz. You give on the days with respect to the many disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So what it means over there is that if you study Beis Shammai Shita, that does not constitute Bittul Torah. For since Beis Shammai Shitas were based on Midrash HaTorah and Reshus Mem, so that's considered a Heftah Shal Torah. Halacha L'maisi, you're not allowed to pass them like Beis Shammai. They were outvoted. We don't pass them like Beis Shammai. And it doesn't even constitute a Midrash Chasidus to be Choshes for Beis Shammai Shita. Gemara said, Beis Shammai b'makom Sil ain a Mishnah. We don't consider their opinion at all, halacha l'maisi. When we say, Eilu b'Eilu divin kimchaim, the original member in the Gemara in Erev and Yudgim on the base is with respect to Beis Shammai b'Sil. There it just means, when we study Beis Shammai Shita, it's not considered Bittul Torah. It's a Heftah Shel Torah because it was based on Yudgim on Midas. So there's a kiyum of Talmud Torah. You shouldn't skip the Gemara that talks about Beis Shammai. But usually when it's not Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, we mean even more by that statement, Eilu b'Eilu divin kimchaim. So the Mishkan is Yankev was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Chaim Volozhiner was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon who founded Volozhiner Yeshiva in 1802. And Mishkan is Yankev was a rabbi in Karlin. Stolen Karlin, so he was a Talmud of one of the early Talmudim of Volozhiner Yeshiva. So he has two volumes, Mishkan and Yankev. Then he has a third sefer, Koheles Yankev. Koheles Yankev has also Tshuvas, and he has a lot on Gemara Brachas and in Seder Moed. So on Brachas in the first parak, he has a long essay that's very strong about this topic of Eilu b'Eilu divin kimchaim. Not only does it usually mean, like Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, that one is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah when you learn Shibur Beis Shammai, but it's even relevant to Halacha L'maisa. Take, for example, we have a klal that Sofik Avelis Lekula. Whenever there's a Sofik and Avelis, you go Lekula. And Tosfos in Eretz quotes the Tshuvas HaGaonim that it's not because Avelis is Midrabbanan. It's not because of Sekhar Rabbanu Kulu. Many of the Gaonim were of the opinion that Avelis Yamishin, the first day of Shiva, is their Isa. The Rambam Paschans like that, the Yesen Kara Paschans like that, the Sfardim followed that Pesach. Ashkenazim, the Ramah presents the Shita of the Pesach of the Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim hold that all Avelis, Shiva is only Midrabban, nothing is their Isa. But the Sfardim followed the Mechaber, and they followed the Rambam and the Rif, and the Avelis Yamishin of Shiva is their Isa. So Tosfos in Erev quotes the Tshuva Sagaidim. Even when Avelis Yamishin is their Isa, you still say Halacha Gedirah Mekel Bahu. Whenever there's a Suffolk Avelis, you go to Kula. A Are there any other cases where you say Safek Deraisa and Mekumah? That's an Orlo Bechutzlo. It's in Chumash, in Parshas Kedoshim, you have the din of Orlo Kisavoyer Al Ha'aretz, and in Taitan Kolaitz Michael. When you move to Eretz Yisrael and you plant the fruit-bearing trees, so it says, "Varatam alosa shalosh shana marem yelachem lo yochel." Whatever fruits grow, the first 3 years, a lot of times nothing will grow, so you got no problems. But whatever, if any fruits grow within the first 3 years, then you're not allowed to eat it. It's also b'chilos manlo. So the Chumash only talks about kisavay al ha'aretz, orla and Eretz Yisrael. Do I still need this? Then I need it. Okay, we'll see. So the Chumash only talks about Orlo and Eretz Yisrael. What's the din of Orlo? The Chutz La'aretz. So the Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Kedushin says that Orlo b'chutz, Orlo is noig b'chutz La'aretz mei halacha. So that's the Gemara has good. What does the word halacha mean? So the Gemara has one opinion. That's the opinion that generally accepted. Most of the Rishonim assume it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. In the Chumash, it only speaks about Orla and Eretz Yisrael, but there's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai is a din d'oraisa that Orla even applies in Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara asks the question, but if it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, the other opinion is that no, the word halacha means hilchas medina, means it's only made the rabbanon. But most of the Rishonim don't assume like that. Most of the Rishonim accept the opinion in the Gemara Kiddushin that Orla b'chutz la'aretz is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So halacha l'moshe m'sinai is a din d'oraisa. So whenever you have a sukkah Orla b'chutz la'aretz, you really should have said that sofek d'oraisa l'chumra. So the Gemara asks, but the Mishnah says sofek Orla b'chutz la'aretz is l'kula. So the Gemara says, kach nemer halacha. That's the halacha. That's sofek Orla b'chutz la'aretz is l'kula. What exactly does that mean? So that's also a big machlokes. The Rambam seems to have understood that it's a statement regarding all sofek, any halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Nisach HaMayim on Sukkah is also halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Tefillin have to be black, and the tefillin boxes have to be square. There are a lot of halachas l'moshe m'sinai. So the Rambam seems to have understood that every, they only say sofek deraisa l'chum is sofek deraban l'kula, and sofek any halacha l'moshe m'sinai is always l'kula. And the Ramban attacks the Rambam for holding that position. The Ramban never says where the Rambam says that. So later, Rambam said, "Where did the Rambam? The Rambam is innocent. Where did he say?" So they found there is a Rambam Hilchas Mikvois of all places, but the Rambam sounds like he says Safek Halacha L'moshe m'sinai is always l'kula. So the Ramban picked up on that Rambam. It's in Hilchas Mikvois that the Rambam seems to have understood every Safek Halacha L'moshe m'sinai is l'kula. Ramban says that it's wrong. The Gemara only said it on Orla b'chutz la'aretz. Part of the package deal of the Halacha L'moshe m'sinai is that Orla is not b'chutz. If it's badai, and if it's a suffolk orla, then it's muta. But if you have any other halacha l'moshe m'sinai, like the tefillin have to be black and the batim have to be square, and the sachamayim and all the other halachas l'moshe m'sinai, a suffolk there would be a suffolk deraisa l'chumah. It wouldn't be l'kula. So what constitutes a suffolk orla? So the Gemara says if you have a machlokes hatanaim, and we paskin in Eretz Yisrael l'chumra. I have a suffix in Hilchas Orla. And in Eretz Yisrael we would pass Yochid v'rab malachi g'rab. We pass like a rabbi. But when it comes to Orla b'chutz la'aretz, it's on the exact same shaila that in Eretz Yisrael we would pass in l'chumra, because the rabbi would say l'chumra that the din of Orla applies. If the shaila would come up in chutz la'aretz, we'd say kol ha'mekol b'aretz halacha k'moisa b'chutz la'aretz. If there's a shita ha'makila in Eretz Yisrael, even though we don't pass him like that, in Eretz Yisrael we pass him like the rabbi. But in chutz la'aretz, that's enough to be considered a suffix, Orla. Not only a Safek in Metzias, I don't remember when the tree was planted, a Safek in Halacha, and not only a Safek, it's not even a Safek, it's what the Ran calls a Safek Kolder, a Safek Kolder, because it's a Yochid Verabim. So we pass him like the Rabbim, and Eretz Yisrael, we pass him like the Din of Orla does apply. But since there was an opinion that was Mekel, and the opinion that was Mekel is based on Midrash Hatar and the Drash Hispam, that's considered a Safek Kolder, and that's enough to say that Safek Orla b'chutz la'aretz l'kula. The same thing the Gaonim said, Taisus and Erevin quotes the Gaonim, even if you hold Avelis Yom Rishon is deraisa, and let's say there's a machlokes in a certain detail in Hilchas Avelis, and if it would be there's a machlokes in halacha in Hilchas Avelis, and Rav of the Shitas hold l'chumre, and a miut hold l'kula. So the Miut was outvoted. We should have said, Yachid v'ram malach yidran. The Gemara says, no. Safek avelis l'kula. Safek avelis l'kula. Because when you have a machlekes, hatanoim, a machlekes haposkim, even a machlekes achreinim, the opinion that's not accepted is still considered a safek holder, because we say, eilu v'eilu, divrei elokim chayim. Since the both sheet were based on Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Perim, therefore we have the ability to say Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. So that constitutes a Sofik Holder. Gemara has another klal. Gemara has a lot of dinim like this. Gemara has another klal. Kedai Harapleini Lismachol Abishas Adchak. In the beginning of Brachas, the Gemara has it, in Masechus Shabbos you have it, in the beginning of Masechus Nidah, you have a few rare cases where you're dealing with the Din Derabanan, and there's a Machloikis, and the Rabbim say Lahachmer, and usually we say Achram Lahatas. But because there's a minority opinion, and it's a big Shas Adchak, either Shas Adchak, a big Hefzid Mammon, or some other big major Shas Adchak, and you're dealing with the Din Derabanan. So the Din Derabanan, the Din is Sofik Derabanan Lekula. So if it would have been a Machloikis, Machza, Machza, approximately half of the Rabbanim hold the Chumah, half hold the Kula, so then you'd be able to say Safek the Rabbanim the Kula. But it's not Machza Machza, it's a Yochid against Rabbim. The majority opinion and holds the Chumah, but there's a minority opinion holds the Kula. But since it's only a Din the Rabbanon, Bishas Hatak, we say, he could die here, applied at least Machala Bishas Hatak, and a Din the Rabbanon, and a Din the Raisa doesn't help. And Adin the Raisa, even if it be Machza Machza, Safik the Raisa Lechumer. But Adin the Rabbanon, we have a rule, Safik the Rabbanon Lekula. But it's only called the Safik the Rabbanon if it's 50-50. If it's Machza Machza, it's not Machza Machza, it's Yochid Keneged Rabbim. So that's not called the Safik, but that's called the Safik Kolderu. So if it's a big Shas Hatrak, we read a Mekel and a Safik Kolderu. So the Mishkan is Yankiv writes in his Sefer Kehelos Yankiv, and Brochus on the first Perek, he lists off all of these, he lists off around 6 or 7 different dinim, where we say, Halacha Lamaisa, Elu Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Not only like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that we mean, Elu Elu means when you study Beis Shammai Shittas, there's a Kiyum of Talmud Torah, but you never pass on like Beis Shammai. The Gemara says, Beis Shammai B'mach Masila Eina Mishnah, Halacha Lamaisa, we don't accept it at all. The original member of Elu V'Elu is Beisham and Misil, but it applies less to Beisham and Misil than to other machlokes. Beisham and Misil, it's only going to get to learning Beisham and Shita and Talmud Torah. It's not Bittul Torah. But Halacha L'maisa, we don't follow Beisham and Misil. But another machlokes, and we even apply Elu V'Elu Halacha L'maisa sometimes. Safik Avelus L'kula, Safik Orla B'chutz L'Oretz L'kula, and a whole bunch of additional cases. Yeah. Why should Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel be different? That's an interesting question. Why should that be different? So there used to be a phenomenon, I never witnessed this, but there used to be a Rebbe in our yeshiva, Rav Nissen Alpert. He lived on the east side, on the lower east side. He was a Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He used to teach in MTJ, Rav Moshe's yeshiva. And then he switched to teach in YU. He was very close to Rav Moshe. So he told us this. He would notice this a few times at weddings. Rav Moshe Feinstein was a goody-goody. So when people invited him to come to a wedding, he knew how much it meant to them that he should be there. So it would always come on time. It would always come on time. And Rav Lezer Silver used to come from Cincinnati sometimes. He would fly in. He would always come late. So Rav Moshe Feinstein would sit and fill out the ksunim, and then they'd be ready to march down the aisle. So Rav Lezer Silver would fly in from Cincinnati, as he would pronounce it, and he would see that Rav Moshe filled out a printed ksunim. So he would pick it up and rip it up in public in a demonstrative fashion to show that it's not right, you shouldn't. And he would write the ksuba by hand. Well, what is that all about? So there's a din by a get. You can't have a form of a get and just fill in it. The get has to be written lishma. But the din of lishma only applies to a get. And the shtar shech Rabbi Knani, it doesn't apply to a ksuba. So there's one time in the Mishnah in Gittin, Rabbi Yudah is of the opinion that midrabbanan and midrachumer, that even shtari mamon have to be written lishma. Midrabbanan. Because if you'll allow a ksuba, if you'll allow a shtar havo just to fill in the names and the date, the amount of money, so then people pay may make a mistake and do the same by a get, and that'll be a pasul get. Rabbi Yehuda has a chumrah. You don't pasul like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Eliezer Silva was of the opinion we should be choshish for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So there's a midas chasidus to be machmer for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So I never saw this myself, but Rabbi Nissen Alpert said that Rav Moshe wouldn't bat an eyelash, he would just sit there. There's a silver would rip up the ksuba and he would write the whole thing by hand. Moshe would just sit there, he wouldn't say boom. But Rav Moshe got the last word in because he wrote tshuvas. There's a silver didn't write any tshuvas. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, tucked away in the middle of a tshuva somewhere, apropos to nothing in the tshuva. So he writes, would anybody in his right mind ever think that there's a midas chasidus to write a whole ksuba by hand? Because to be choshish for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, so he says, no, that doesn't constitute a midas chasidus, because Rabbi Yehuda was together with the other chachamim, he was outvoted. So that's why it says in the Gemara, Beshamim and Beis Hillel were together in the base, in the same base medrash. They were omdul minyan. When you have a machloikas diktsos and the nesivis, they lived in two different cities. They lived in two different countries. When you have a machloikas the shach and the taz, they lived in different places. They lived in different countries also. They didn't live in the same country. When you have a machloikas like that, then you say, Eilu v'eilu divi l'kim chai. Even Allah Lamaisa, you have nafkaminis. But if you have Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham in the same base medrash, Bisham and Bisil in the same base medrash, and they're out, and they were Omdul Aminyan, they debated it back and forth, and then they took a vote. When it's Omdul Aminyan, so then you only say Eilu Yehuda with respect to learning Shittas Bisham constitutes the Kima Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But you don't say Halacha Lamaisa that it's a Sufik holder. They were outvoted. They were Omdul Aminyan, they were outvoted. So that's what he said, Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham, the Moshe writes in the Sefer. Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham are in the same base medrash, and Rabbi Yehuda was outvoted, so it doesn't even constitute a midas chasidus to be choshes for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Achronim have another cloud, that Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer, just like the Shach is the main commentary on Yerideya, and the Magen Avraham is the main commentary on Or HaChaim. So on Choshen Mishpat, the main commentary is the Shach. He took over everything. Shach is fantastic. The Shach was a Kohen, Sipsen Kohen. The Sma was also a Kohen. And inside, in Choshen Mishpat, is the Sma. The Sma was also a Kohen. That's why in the first page of Choshen Mishpat, they call it Toras Kohanim. Rabbi Yosef Kara was not a Kohen. But the two major commentaries, the Sma and the Shach, both Kohanim, so that's why Choshen Mishpat is also known as Toras Kohanim. Because the two Kohanim are the ones who have the commentary. So the... So the main commentary on Ebenezer is the Beis Shmuel. So the Beis Shmuel points out that there is machlokes between the Ri Megash and all of the Rishonim, how to read a certain Gemara in Bava Kamma. There's a din habal yarishes ishtoy. When the wife dies, the husband yarishes. When the husband dies, the wife does not yarishen the husband. When the wife dies, the husband yarishes. When the husband dies, the wife is entitled to the ksuban. Maybe the husband made a will that should be legally binding that the wife should get the whole Yerusha. That's what most people do. They leave a will that they want the wife to get the whole Yerusha. Okay? But if the husband didn't leave such a halachic will, then the wife's just entitled to get the ksuba. The ksuba is a lot of money. Ksuba is something like $100,000. But there's no din that the wife yarshin the husband. The din the husband yarshins the wife. So there's a din just like the b'chor only gets bishnai b'muchzik v'lo b'ra'ui, because the pasuk says, "Es b'chor ben asnua yakir losis lo bishnai b'chol asheyei matzei lo." The b'chor only gets bishnayim from the assets that the father had at the moment of death. Let's say the father bought the sweepstakes ticket to the Irish sweepstakes, whatever, and the drawing took place after the father died. So he bought the ticket while he was alive, but he didn't win it until after he died. So he didn't have the $1 million at the time that he died. So the b'chor is on a title to pishnayim on that. Let's say the father had lent out money and the loiva didn't pay it back till after the father died. B'chor doesn't get pishnayim on that. That's called ro'u. B'chor only gets pishnayim, but muchzik it doesn't get the ro'u. So there's such a din by Abal Yerush HaSishtei also. Gemara in Yesh Nechlin, Abal Yerush HaSishtei is only Memuchzot. He only gets the Yerusha that the wife had at the moment of death. let's say a man is married, the wife dies. After the wife dies, then her father dies, and she was the only child. So do you say the wife Yarshim's bekever, and the whole Yerusha from the father-in-law goes to the husband? No. The minute she died, he's not her husband anymore. He can't be married to a dead woman. While they were alive, that was his wife. So whatever asset she had at the time that she died, that goes to Yerusha to the husband. After she died, then her father dies, then her rich uncle dies, and then she gets Yerusha bekever, it goes to her children. It doesn't go to the husband, because he's no longer the husband. So the din is Abal doesn't get Pishnayim b'muchsa. So there's a machlokes, the Megash and everybody else about the details of this din. So like we mentioned before, the Bchor doesn't get Pishnayim even if the father had the assets and he lent it out, he lent the money to a loiva, and let's say the father has money in the bank. So the money in the bank, if you have money in a safe deposit vault and it's sitting there, that's a pikud. So that's mukhsar. If the father has money in his savings account, the money is not sitting there. The bank is investing the money. You lend your money to the bank, and the bank is going to pay you back the keren with the ribbis. They're going to give you back your halva, and they're going to give you back ribbis. It's federally insured also. So the money that you have in the savings account is really a halvor. So if the father dies and he leaves a bchor, so the pashtu should be that bchor doesn't get pishnayim in the money in the bank, because that's a halvor. That's a machlekes hatanan mipasna, and that's called ro'ui, and the bchor doesn't get pishnayim b'roikim b'mukhsat. So the Reb Megash has a chiddush. If you think about it for a while, it's a good chiddush. As a chiddush, the way he interprets the Gemara, habal yerush ha'sishtai, the din is different. Habal yerush ha'sishtai, the husband even gets the halvor. That's not called roi. It's only called roi when he gave to Bchor. It's not called roi when he gave to habal yerush ha'sishtai. But all the Rishonim disagree, and it's a little unclear what the Rambam holds. So the Beis Shmuel writes, what's the din halacha l'maisa in this halacha? So whenever there's a big question in dinim mamus, so we say hamotze machavera all of a right. Whoever's muchzik, whoever's holding on to the money, has a right to keep it. And what if there's machlekes yochin and rabim? So the guy say, he still say in halcha b'mamun achar harayv. Whoever is the muchzik has a right to keep it. Can't be motzi mamun based on a roiv. So what if there's a machlekes haposkim? Whether the person is entitled to the money or not. So then we say, whoever is a mukhsak wins, and you can't be mighty in a moment based on a right. So what if they... So the Beis Shmuel says, this machlokes is the Reb Megash and all the other Rishonim, nobody agrees with the Reb Megash. So it's a shita yechidah. It's such a rejected shita. It's not like machlokes Bisham and Bisil. Bisham was a whole group of Tamil Chacham. Bisil was a bigger group. They were rabbi. But here it's like 99% of the Rishonim hold one way, and only the Reb Megash holds a different gears and a different shot than the Gemara. So we ignore the Reb Megash. So we totally ignore this chiddush of the Reb Megash. Even though it's not a bad chiddush, we totally ignore it. And then the Beis Shmuel adds on, and even if it's true what the Magen Mishnah says, that the Rambam agrees with the Reb Megash, that doesn't count as another shita. Because when the Rambam was a little child, his father brought him, the Rambam's father, Maimon, learned by the Reb Megash. Reb Megash was a Talmud of the Rif in his second career in Spain. After he ran away from Fez, and he started teaching Torah in Spain. So the Reb Megash was the most outstanding Talmud of the Rif from the second career in Rome. So the Rabbeinu Maimon, the father of the Rambam, took his little son, Rabbeinu Moshe, from Maimon to his Rebbe for a bracha. He gave a bracha, he should be matzliach and learn. So the Rambam attributed his success in learning to the bracha that he got as a child from the Reb Megash. So the Beis Shmuel writes in Ibn Ezra, the Rambam was so kofuf to the Reb Megash, without even thinking he's going to say like the Reb Megash. Once in a while he disagrees with him, but very rarely. He says Rambam writes in one place, the Reb Megash was a super genius. Sichlo mabis b'chol atam. He was wild. He was super genius. So the Beis Shmuel says the Rambam was so kofuf to the Reb Megash, it doesn't count as a separate sheet. So it's still a sheet yichidor. The Reb Megash and the Rambam just blindly follow the Reb Megash. Even if he agrees with him, he blindly follows. And you don't say over there that that's a suffix holder. So these are some of the klolim. When do you say Elav Elav Dibel Kim Chaim? If there's a machlokes yochid ve'rabim, and it's a machlokes aliba den avshayu. If the machlokes is how to read, how to translate the words in the Gemara, what the girsa is, so the one who has the wrong girsa is wrong. You can't say Elav Elav Dibel Kim Chaim. So that's not considered a safek kolderu. And the only time. Whenever it's Umdul and Minyan, whenever they were together and they were outvoted, then you no longer say Elav Elav Dibel Kim Chaim. La halacha la maisa. Only say if you learn the Ashita, it constitutes Talmud Chacham. It constitutes a mitzvah Talmud Torah. But you wouldn't consider it as Safi Kaldehu and halacha. And if it's only Ashita Yechido, also you wouldn't say Elav Elav that you should consider it as Safi Kaldehu. And even if it's the Rambam agreeing with the Rimagash, even if we're not sure if the Rambam agrees on it. So the Beis Shmuel says, even if the Rambam agrees, that doesn't count. It's still a Sheet Yechido. You wouldn't say Elo B'Elo over there to say that whoever is Muchzik has the right to hold on to the money. Anyway, so this idea of Elo B'Elo is a very important consideration in Halacha L'Maisa. That's the Mishkan HaSyankin. It has this major essay. And Moshe Feinstein has a difficult shuvah about Elo B'Elo Divrei Kim Chaim. He says, let's say the Rabbeinu Tam has a shita, that's the way Tosfos presents the Rabbeinu Tam, that the first 50 minutes after the Shkia is Vadayom, the sky is, you can see thousands of stars. The Rabbeinu Tam holds that it's Vadayom, and then the last 15 minutes is Bein HaShemashos, and it says the Kochavim is 72 minutes after the Shkia. So the Vilna Gaon says, Achush Makrish. Walk outside, 50 minutes after the Shkia, it's Vadayom. It's pitch black outside. What in the world is Rabbeinu Tam talking about? So there used to be a prominent Talmud Chacham in Manhattan, Rabbi Gettinger. He was a big Talmud Chacham. He wrote a sefer when he was much younger. I was a student of his. He was once a substitute in my class when I was in fifth grade or sixth grade or something like that. He was a big Talmud Chacham. He was teaching little children. He was a big Talmud Chacham. So he wrote a sefer, which he didn't print till a few years before he passed away. He wrote a whole sefer. The Rabbeinu Tam never said that. And it was a misunderstanding. And if you put the Rabbeinu Tam and the Vilna Gaon in the room together, they'll say exactly the same thing. There never was such a machlokes. Okay? Because he was a big genius. Rabbi Gettinger was a big genius. But that's how the Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Until around 50, 55 minutes after the Shkia is Vadayom, and a baby is born 50 minutes after the Shkia Matzoi Shabbos, the bris is Decha Shabbos because it's Vadayom. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't do it. That's the way it says in Yerideya. The Shach says, we don't do that. In Vilna, we don't do that. It's at least Bein HaShemashos. It's not even Bein HaShemashos. It's Vaday Laila. So Moshe Feinstein has like this. Someone died, and the Shiva doesn't begin till after the Kvura. So let's say the Kvura takes place 48 minutes after the Shkia. So do you consider yesterday as the first day of Shiva? Or do you say, no, 48 minutes after the Shkia, so then it's Tzeis HaKaram. So of course it's Tzeis HaKaram. You look outside. The sky is full of stars all over the place. Of course, it's Vaday Tzeis HaKaram. So Moshe writes, no, but the Rabbeinu Tam holds that it's still Vadayom, even though we don't pass from like the Rabbeinu Tam. But Halachik Dira Mekel Ba'ovel, when it comes to Hilchos Avedis, you have a right to be Mekel. So he says, we consider, if you finish the Kvura, 48 minutes after the Shkia, we consider it, and the Oval takes off his shoes. So he observed the first day of Shiva was yesterday, and tonight is already the second day of Shiva, and he finishes the Shiva the morning of the seventh day. Morning of the seventh day, we apply the rule, Mitzvah Sayyam Kekula, and say, call it quits. But he says, even those who don't follow the Rabbeinu Tam, but halachic dera mekel ba'avol, when it comes to avelus, we go lekula. They have a right to follow the Rabbeinu Tam. So that's very questionable. You don't say elav elav divrei Kim Chaim whenever it's a machlokes in metzias. Okay, the Vilna Gaon says achush makrish is absolutely not correct. So how can you say here halachic dera mekel ba'avol? That's very questionable. Anyway, but this idea of elav elav, Kodesh Baruch Hu put in the Targum into the Chumash. Because that's one derech in learning, even though we don't accept that derech, we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva, but there is a concept of Elul Yelul. It's a serious concept. You have to know when it applies and when it doesn't apply. And it doesn't mean Elul Yelul, many people misunderstand, they think Elul Yelul, Divrei Kim Chaim, so you can do whatever you don't please. You can follow whatever sheet you want. That's not what it means. Elu Elu doesn't mean you have a right to follow Beis Shammai. It doesn't mean you have a right to follow the minority opinion. In some rare cases, we say that it means you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah if you discuss Beis Shammai's opinion. And then not Beis Shammai, in other machlokes, and when it wasn't Om Del Minyan, when they weren't together, in other cases we say it's even relevant, halacha l'maisa, elu elu divin kam, we consider it a suffix called the rule. Anyway, so again, what's the whole story? This whole I got to do. The Rebbeinu Shalom is about to give the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, oh, I have to add on the tagim, on the Shatran's Getz letter. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, what do you need it for? It's from the leader, Shatran and Reshes, from according to one opinion. He says, what is it all about? So he says he's going to show him. So he shows him a video of Rabbi Akiva giving his shiur. Moshe Rabbeinu was way above his head. He didn't understand one word. So Chol Shadaito, he felt... The Gemara has Tashash Kaichai. Moshe Rabbeinu felt fear. It's a total distortion of what the Torah is. That's not the Torah that Rabbi's given Har Sinai. And then when someone asked a question to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said, that's Halacha Menashim Sinai. It was Nisyash Vadaita. How is it Nisyash Vadaita? Because they mentioned his name. No, it means he couldn't imagine that in every generation they're going to add on more and more, like in geometry. Every time you develop some new idea in physics or chemistry and you prove certain ideas, then you go further and based on this, and you put together this idea with this idea, come up with a third idea. Like in mathematics, you combine together two different theorems, you come up with a third theorem, and you have rigorous proof, what they call rigorous proof of this theorem. So in Allah, in every generation, they keep on developing further. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought that it's a distortion of the Torah. Then when he hears Rabbi Akiva saying, no, it's Allah, he realized everything is based on the Torah, but in every generation, they were adding on more. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you have such a super genius like Rabbi Akiva, so why are you giving the Torah through me? Give it to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Shon says, no, that's my plan. I want to give the Torah through you. Then he says, he wants to see this super genius, Rabbi Akiva, what's going to be his reward? Harisani Tarasa, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you showed me Rabbi Akiva giving a shir. Harein Iskar, show me what reward does he get. So he shows Rabbi Akiva was from Nasara Haruge Malchus, and they were selling his flesh. They cut him up in little pieces, and they were selling his flesh, weighing it on the scale in the butcher shop. Shushok from Basar B'Makulin. They were weighing his flesh and selling it for eating purposes. The Romans who killed Rabbi Akiva. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's the reward for being such a great Torah scholar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shtok kachos alufana b'machshov. This is what I want. We don't understand. Some interpret in this line, kachos b'machshov alufana. Pashim Shat says, this is my plan. Baruch Shalom says, this is my plan. Don't ask any kashas. So there is a Gemara. The Gemara says, when they're about to kill Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara Brachas has this, the end of Brachas, when the Romans were about to kill Rabbi Akiva, because he continued to give shiurim in public. So the Gemara quotes Rabbi Akiva said, "Kol Yamai, Oisim Itztayr Al Pasuk Zeh." He was always wondering about a pasuk. After such a malakecha, Chol Napshecha Afila Noita L'Snamshecha. You have to demonstrate that you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avos Hashem is not merely a chavis halavavis, to be a Jew at heart, to love God in your heart. It's a chavis ha'ivarim. Chavis halavavis talks about chavis ha'ivarim. Chavis halavavis, you have to eat matzah, you have to put on tefillin, you have to do mitzvahs, you have to shake a lulav, that's chavis ha'ivarim. The organs of the body have to do it. Chavis halavavis, you have to have certain attitudes. So the mitzvah of Avos Hashem is not only a chavis halavavis, to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a chavis ha'ivarim, you have to do things to demonstrate. So one of the things that one has to do to demonstrate that he loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu is after such a malakecha b'chol levavcha chavis ha'levavis b'chol napshecha afila noitel es napshecha, you have to be prepared to give up your life al kiddush Hashem for your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Akiva says kol yomai ha'isi mitztayra mikra zeh masa yodah liyodah v'akaymenu, how will I ever fulfill this mitzvah of giving up my life on Kiddush Hashem, and now they're about to kill me, so now I'm going to fulfill the mitzvahs. So some interpret that that's what the phrase means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zui Toya V'Zui Schara, that Rabbi Akiva is such a big Talmid Chacham, that's how he's rewarded, that they tortured him to death and they killed him like that, and they're selling his meat in the butcher shop, weighing it in the makulin, weighing it on the scale, like animal meat. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kacholah B'machshav L'fan, I know that that's what he was thinking. Boshev Shabbin, this is my plan in the world, don't ask me any questions. And others interpret, Kacholah B'machshav L'fan, I know that that was the machshava Rabbi Akiva always had for years. Masa Yodei L'Yodei V'Akaimenu. So I wanted to enable him to fulfill the mitzvah of giving up his life on Kiddush Hashem. So that's why I had to go and kill him. That's how some interpret. It doesn't fit in with the first time. Seven lines earlier, it says again, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Rebbe Shlom, you have this big genius, Rabbi Akiva, why are you giving the Torah through me? Give it to the Rabbi Akiva. So Rebbe Shlom says, no, so that doesn't mean, I know that's what Rabbi Akiva is thinking. I mean, that's my plan in the world. I have a plan in the world. So it probably doesn't mean that the second time. I know that that's what Rabbi Akiva was thinking. But that's how some suggest an interpretation of Yuma. That's not really the pshat in the Gemara. This is a famous agaritah. This is a din of tagim. You haven't even mentioned this. Machlokes and Rishayim, whether tagim ali yikuvim. And one version of the Rabbeinu Tam, the two versions of what the Rabbeinu Tam understood, kutsa shel yod, what means the tag on top, or means and the point on the bottom that protrudes a little bit below the yud on the left side, which is the kutsa shel yod. So some say it's the tag on top. And the Rabbeinu Tam holds that tagim am yakeh by shatans gets tagim am yakeh, and by the kutsa shel yod, the yud, the little tag is also am yakeh over there. So that's the Gemara. Amar Avashi the Gemara calls Chazina Luhu Lesafri Dabkone. I saw Sifrei Torah that were Meduyakim, Sifrei Torah written by Daikonim, by experts. The way we have the Giris in the Gemara, Safri Dabkone de Beirab. Beirab means in the Yeshiva. I saw the Sifrei Torah Hamaduyokim de Beirab. The Shitim Kovetzes crosses out the two words. The Sfarim HaMeduyokim is by the Balabatim also. It's not just in yeshivas, but the Sefer Torah in the yeshivas are more meduyak than those in the shul. So he crossed out the two words. He just says, I saw in Sfarim HaMeduyokim the following two things. The Chatri Luhu Lagage Deches. Deches and Ksavashuris has a Chatoi Tru'anta. We'll have to discuss what that means. And number two, he saw Tolulei Lekari Dehei, that the left leg of the hay is not touching the top bar. Most of the Sifrei Torah, there was a hay, that's a dalid, and then the left leg was touching the top. It looked a little like a ches, but if it would have been a ches, it would have been a thick line from the bar on top of the hay till the bottom. But it wasn't a thick line. On the bottom it was thick, and on top it was a very thin line that touched the top. But in the Sfarim HaMeduyokim, the line didn't go to the top. It wasn't touched. That's our Sefer Torah like that. The left leg of the hay doesn't touch at all the top bar. In the days of the Gemara, it's only the Sfarim HaMeduyokim. And most of the Sefer Torah, the left line, the left leg of the hay was touching the top with a slight negiah. So he says he saw in the Sfarim HaMeduyokim that the left leg was not touching at all. What does it mean? Why Chatri Lelagag the Ches? Why do they have a Chatoitra on top of the Ches? That represents the idea of Klaimar. Every letter in the alphabet, the Gemara Masechus Shabbos says that there were children in Cheder who knew how to give a whole drasha on the letters of the alphabet, what the letters represent. So the Ches represents the fact that Chayhu Beruma Shaloylam, that the Rebbe Shaloylam is alive and kicking, and he's on top. So that's why you have a chatoitra on top of the ches to represent the idea that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is above Adam Hazeh. He's in the heavens above. Chayhu Beruah Mishalom. Baruch Shalom is there. What does it mean, the chatoitra? So Tosfos has a machlokes with Rashi. Tosfos has the diagram. Rashi has a diagram also. So Rashi learns the ches has a bar on top, like we print the ches, and it protrudes a little bit on the left side on top. Tosfos is not happy with that, because the word chatoitra in the Gemara usually refers to chatoitra shel gomel, the camel's hump, the hump on the camel's back. So it protrudes on top. So Tosfos gives you the diagram with the two zions and the chatoitra, a hump on top, not just a line sticking up like a tag. Like a tag sticking up, instead of three tag in one tag. No, it's a hump that goes up. And that's what we usually assume. There are three different, if you look in Sekhvir Talmudid, they'll show you there are three different ways to write Ksav Ashuris. They have Ksav Bes Yosef, that's what most people use, Ksav Bes Yosef. Then they have Ksav Ari, a couple of letters are slightly different. Then they have Ksav Velish, that's a Sephardish Ksav. That is very different. One of the major differences is that the shin in the Xabelis has a flat bar on the bottom. Here, take a look at the word shatnas in the Taisus, Ibn Maschal shatnas. So the shin has a flat bar on the bottom. So that's how the Xabelis has. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that if you have a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah that has a shin with a flat bar, he quotes in Pirkei Avot that it's possible. We most assume that the shin has to come to a point on the bottom. It's not supposed to be a flat bar. It's hard to tell people that they're ksav, they had this ksav for centuries. For them, it's, I guess it's kosher, that's their tradition. But everybody else doesn't follow that tradition. What are the differences between ksav Beis Yosef and ksav Ari? So one of the major differences is the tzaddik. NCSY used to have a symbol of a tzaddik representing them. So the tzaddik used to be a ksav ari tzaddik. Based on the Zohar says the tzaddik has two heads on top, two necks, and has one body on the bottom. So the tzaddik represents Adam and Chava when they would do partzufin, when they were one body before they were separated. That's how the Gemara says when you get married. So we say Sheva Bracha, so we say two brachas, Yotzeh Ha'adam. Then we say another time, a longer bracha, Yotzeh Son of Tzalma, you end off Yotzeh Ha'adam. Why do you say two brachas, Yotzeh Ha'adam? It's a repeat of the same idea. Gemara said, because we believe, we follow that opinion, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam and Chava, two partzufin. Originally he created Adam and Chava, two heads with one body, and then he separated, not that he took a rib from Chava, and he made a whole, he took a rib from Adam, he made Chava, the whole body was there. The whole Chava was there, but they were attached. So he separated Adam and Chava. That's called du partzufim. So in the Zohar, there's a question, when Adam and Chava were attached together, were they back-to-back looking in two different directions? Adam Arishan, the Gemara says, Adam Arishan was looking forward, and Chava was looking backward. That's what the Gemara says in the end of Brachas. Or were they both looking in the same direction? They were not back to back. Chava was behind Adam, and she was looking in the same direction. Rav Soloveitchik was explaining once in Shia, it basically machlokes about human nature, where the human nature is that people can work together, so working for the same goal, looking in the same direction, or from day number one, Adam and Chava are looking in opposite direction. No two people really are working together. Everybody's working for himself. So that's a question. So Lichik said, as he gets older, it becomes more, more sarcastic. I mean, not sarcastic. Got the expression. Not sarcastic. Forgot the expression. And he doesn't think that even Kodem Achet, he thinks even before they sin with the Eitz Hadas, he can't believe that the two people would be thinking in the same direction. He says as he gets older, he becomes more not sarcastic, not with the words. Anyway, that's a major question. So the NCSY used to have on their bench a lot, they used to have this tzaddik on the cover. It was a Nusach Ari tzaddik. You have two necks of the tzaddik, one head facing this one direction, the right, one head facing the left. That's the Nusach Ari of the Ksav Ari of the tzaddik. And our Sefer Torah Ksav Beis Yosef, the both heads are facing the same direction. So that's a famous issue. The Chazanish made a comment that it could be that the Hasidim used the Ksav Ari. So he made a comment here, the Chazon Ish was a misnagin. So it could be that the Ksav Ari is possible for mezuzahs and tefillin because the tzaddik is no good. So he said, what do you mean? But that we all have the Ksav Ari, we all have the Ksav Ari. So he said, he only then maybe. He didn't say Vada, he said maybe. Maybe it's kosher. So he said, maybe it's possible. They claim that the later on in life he changed his mind. He said, no, it's probably his kosher. But for many years, they quoted that the Chazon Ish said that it may be possible. The Shaila was, so they asked the Chazon Ish, what are you talking about? How can it be possible? The minig always was, if a Mesnagid rabbi would go to a Chassidish minyan, they would give him an aliyah, he would say a bracha on the Sefer Torah. But if it's a puzzle and Sefer Torah, if all the tzaddik's are puzzle, so you can't lay in Kriyas HaTorah from a puzzle and Sefer Torah. So the Chazon Ish said, well, no, it's a Sfek Sfeika. Because the Rambam and the Tshuva, quoted by, I think we spoke about it the other day, the Rambam and the Tshuva, quoted by the Kesem Mishnah, who quotes it from the Tshuva Sarajba, Rambam and the Tshuva writes, for Kriyas HaTorah purposes, you can learn with brachas from a printed Chumash. You don't need a kosher Sefer Torah. You only need a kosher Sefer Torah for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kisra Lachem Asashira Hazayis, the Gemara is going to soon talk about. The mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Every Jewish man is obligated to write a Sefer Torah, to write the Shutvis, maybe to write a Sefer Torah. So you need a kosher Sefer Torah to fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. You need a kosher Sefer Torah for Kriyas HaTorah. So the Rambam and the Tshuva says you don't. And the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah changed his mind there. He writes that you're not allowed to lain with brachas from a pasul of Sefer Torah. There are more rights in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say you don't have a kosher Sefer Torah, but the shul has a printed chumash. So he says they have a minyan, so they should lain without brachas. They should lain from the printed chumash. Maybe you'll be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. According to the Chuvas Rambam, you'll be out to the Takan Chum. But you shouldn't say a bracha because Safik brachas Maka.
Presumably
said before that if
there's a
Das Yachad,
then it's only a Safik
Kodu.
Would that be saying
that
we
could
use a Safik
Kodu
as part of the
Sfek Sfeika? I don't know if this is a Safik Kodu. It's the Rambam and the Rambam. I don't know. Maybe it's better than a Safik Kodu. But it's at least a Safik Bracha. So we wouldn't say a Bracha. But the Rambam recommends that you should lain, if you don't have the Shul, that's not a kosher Sefer Torah. They should lain from Apostle and Sefer Torah. They should learn from a printed Chumash. Because according to the Chuvas HaRambam, it would be good. And we follow the Rambam B'Yevit. If you find a mistake in the middle of the Revi or Chamishi, so the Mari Beirav, the Beis Yosef quotes his Rebbe, the Mari Beirav, who says that you don't have to lean over. Whatever you lean the Rebbe, you don't have to lean over. B'Yevit, we rely on the Chuvas HaRambam. So usually we say that Shas HaTchak, B'Yevit done it. Shas HaTchak, we rely and that opinion that we usually only hold that the Eved is good. Shas HaTchak, they allow it l'chatchila. That's what the Ramah says, that we would learn from a pasul of Sefer Torah, but we wouldn't say the bracha. We would learn from the pasul of Sefer Torah if you have a Shas HaTchak. Shas HaTchak, the Eved done it. Shas HaTchak, you allow it l'chatchila. We usually is only acceptable to the Eved. So the difference between the Ksavari and the Ksavis Yosef, one major difference is that Tzaddik, Rav Soloveitchik told us that there was a great Talmud Chochma learned in Valozhin, Rav Lozhin Moshe Hurwitz. In the back of the Gemara, they have in the back of the room, the Shas, they have Chidushim from him. He was the rabbi in Pinsk. So when he came to Pinsk, there was a lot of Hasidim who lived in Pinsk. So the Sefer Torah had the Ksav Ari. So he was very concerned. He didn't want a lane from a Apostle of the Sefer Torah. So he wanted to have the Sefer correct every tzaddik to change it. So it's quite a job. They change every tzaddik in the Sefer Torah from Ksav Ari to Ksav Beis Yosef. So he corresponded with the Beis HaLevi about this. He used to correspond with the Beis HaLevi because they knew each other from Valozhin. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim thought that you don't have to correct it. That you can learn from a Sefer Torah that has Ksav Ari. He said, but the Eved is not such a major difference whether the tzaddik's like this or tzaddik like that. Even though the Zohar explains what the issue is, the issue what the shape of the tzaddik is Kodem Achet. What Adam and Chava would do Patsufim, were they facing the same direction or opposite directions? So it's an issue. So Rav Chaim thought that that's not the Akad of the Eved. There will be a kosher Sefer Torah even like that, even if it's facing in the wrong directions. So that's one issue, the difference between Ksav Ari and Ksav Yosef. The other issue is the Ches, the way the diagram is in Tosfos. You have two Zions, and you have a Chatoitra, you have the hump on top. So I think in Ksav Ari, I think it's a Vav and a Zion. Instead of a Zion and a Zion, they have a Vav and a Zion, but a Chatoitra on top.
That's also a shayla. That's a really puzzled that he had it. It has the chatotra, it has the hampata. So that's a big debate. Yeah. Why is tolulei lekari dehei? How come the left leg of the hay is not touching at all the bar on top? So the Gemara, why do you have an empty space in between the left leg and the top bar and the hay? So the Gemara says, "Kedivoy menei Rabbi Yudin siya me Rebbe Yami." He once asked the Shalmad, "I said, 'Yitchav Hashem adiyad ki b'koh Hashem tzura.'" He should have said, "Ki koh Hashem tzura lama." Koh is one of the Zayin Shem Shem Nimchakim, one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it should say, "Kikoh Hashem Tzorei Lamed." You should trust in God because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who controls the whole world. He can take care of everything. So why does it say, "Ki Bikoh Hashem Tzorei Lamed"? So he said, he asked him, what's Pshat in the Pasuk? So he responds, "Kol Atel Bitchonim HaKadosh Baruch Hare Lo Machzeh Bo'olam Hazeh Li'olam Haba." HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of him, Bo'olam Hazeh, Bo'olam Haba. That's what it means. "Ki Bikoh Hashem." Yeah, the pasuk means you should have bitochen. Amalei, so he asked him again, no, why does it say biko Hashem? Let it say ko Hashem. So he says, yeah, that's what I told you. Biko means boilam hazeh, boilam haba. Because olam hazeh was created with hey, and olam haba was created with a yud. So tomorrow we'll have to continue. What does that mean? Olam hazeh. And why should the hey, why should the left leg not be touching on top? So the Gemara is going to explain. Olam hazeh, why it should not touch on top? Okay. I apologize for going over time yesterday.